Well, I welcome you to the ABCs of Christian Growth on this letter Z, Zion, your eternal home. This is Brother Thurman, and I'm glad that you joined in today to study with us. And today we're going to probably finish up the letter Z, Lord willing, and I encourage you that no matter what you do, this is Z here, and we're going to end up the alphabet and end the study with this lesson. But by no means quit studying. I mean, if you study somewhere else or listen to something else, do that. Don't ever get out of studying your Bible. Once you establish and you get the battle going, and the enemy is always going to try to talk you out of studying that Bible and opening that book. He does not want any part of God's Word in your mind, in your ears, in your eyes. He don't want it nowhere around you, because he knows what God's Word is. And he knows the power that's in God's Word. And if you knew just a second ago before I started to begin this study, just for you to sit down, I mean, just a minute ago when you press that button to get started with this, you had to fight to do it. Now, why is it a battle just to push a button and to listen to somebody talk about God's Word? Why is that a battle? You don't have any problem with it when you push on some music, maybe some Christian music. Yeah, probably that too. But not like the Word of God. The devil will fight you. I mean, this is something that I absolutely love doing. It is a joy to my heart to sit down with you and to talk about God's Word and to see what the Scriptures say. And I want to be saturated with God's Word, and I know that you do too. And I've never come out of one of these studies disappointed or sorry that I did it, or that I listened to it, or that I participated in it. And I don't think that you are either. So understand that there is a battle. And just because we're on Z and we're on the very last lesson for Z and going to probably wind it up today, does that not mean that you stop? You continue. And if there's some of these studies that you've not yet listened to and you came in the middle of the alphabet or whatever has happened with you concerning this study, I recommend you move on to the next letter and get in letter A and get it started all over again. I don't know how many times I've been through this study, and the Lord gave this to me, and I started working on it, and the Lord and I just worked on it and just put more Scripture in it and more Scripture in it, and just wherever God the Holy Ghost led me to do and what he led me to do with it. But the main part of this study is God's Word. And if there wasn't any of God's Word in this study, you'd throw it in a trash can, because it ain't no good. Now, God's Word is the most important, and that's what we study. And no matter where you study, or it does matter who you study with, because there's a lot of people out there that the main thing that you need to understand about a study, if you approve of it, is that is it using God's Word? And not only is it using God's Word, is God's Word the main issue in the study? Is all of the back burner information, is it glorifying God's Word, or is God's Word backing up what's being said? You see, God's Word needs to be the priority in any kind of study. And it needs to be the beginning and the ending of a study. And that's the way we want it on here, because we always come out of it edified and closer to the Lord, and always with a clear conscience between us and men and us and the Lord, because we've done the things that are pleasing in his sight. That's what's important. Okay. Now, understand that a Bible that is almost a Bible is a billy goat. It ain't nothing. There's a lot of people out there that tell you that a Bible, that God's Word is almost God's Word. And I don't know where they think they get the authority to do that. A human being is a sinner, and he is cursed. And he has a creator. And it would be something like this. It'd be like I sit down here. Well, you know them old circle wheels that go round and round where people do the pottery and stuff like that. Just imagine one of them, and I'd get me some clay and modeling clay and put it up there, and I'd form, and I'd do this and do that, and I'd make me a little man there. And he's a good-looking fella, and I even put all the details in it, and his clothes, and a smile on his face, and his hands up in the air, and like he's praising or something like that, you know, or just a good-looking little fella there, and I make him up. And then I draw me a big old breath, and I breathe on him. And then all of a sudden, you see his arms move, and he shakes just a little bit, and he shakes, and then all of a sudden he just stands up straight, and he comes alive and starts moving around just like I do. And he looks up at me, and he smiles, and he runs over and hugs my arm, and I give him a little pat on the head and give him a hug. And then while we're standing there, I look over to him, and he looks up at me, and his eyebrows go down, and his lips turn down, and he gets this angry look on his face. And he holds his fist up to me. And I done been nice to this guy. I'm the one that made him, and I'm nice to him, and I try to do everything in the world for him. And he holds his fist up at me and spits at me. What do you suppose going to happen to that little fella? He going to be clay pancake. But we got a God that's more merciful. We got a God that's merciful. And we got a God that loves us. But he don't put up with no garbage. And when it comes to his word, you read Psalm 138, verse 2, and you tell me what that means. It means that God's word is more important to him than his name. And you know what God thinks of his name. Now, if God's word is more important than his name, should it be more important to us? I mean, not than his name, but as far as priority on his word should be counted above anything that's humanistic, right? Absolutely. So, if a Bible is almost God's word, it ain't God's word. And there's a lot of folks out there, now you listen to me, there's a lot of folks out there that are going to try to tell you that the Bible is almost God's word. That it's almost a good translation. That it's almost from the right transcripts. That it's almost this and it's almost that. Don't you listen to not one breath of what else they got to say. Not one breath. Because they have taken priority of authority away from God and away from God's word, and they're casting doubt in your mind and in your heart concerning a pure, inerrant, without error, word of God that came directly from the Lord. God said he'd keep his word and he'd preserve it. He didn't tell us how he was going to do it. He just said he was going to do it. Now, ever since you've been reading your Bible and studying in this study, have you had any problem with God's word? Has God the Holy Ghost told you at any time, that's not my word? I wouldn't think so, because we've been using God's word. There's never been one time in my life since I've been born again that God the Holy Ghost did not, that he confused me concerning his word. Now, the devil's done it plenty. I recommend that you use the King James, the Authorized Version. That book has been around, and there's over 9 million copies been made, if I'm correct about that. 9 million copies been made. It's been translated into over 200 languages, and just all kinds of stuff. You can get into the letter B, the Bible, and you'll hear a lot more about that. But the bottom line is, listen to what God the Holy Ghost says about his word. And if he gives you peace about his word, don't you listen to no man that tries to correct God. Ever. If a man says, well, God said this, but that wasn't quite the way it should have been, it was a better way to put it would be, man, I wouldn't listen to somebody that tried to correct my words, much less God's words. If I said something and a man says, well, you know, a better way to put that is, I'd think, well, wait just a minute. I ain't got the best speech in the world, but who gave you the authority to correct my personal language, my personal sentences, my personal paragraphs, my personal, who gave you the authority to do that? Do you reckon everybody out there that's correcting God's word and saying a better this and a better that and it's almost this and almost that, do you think God gave them the authority to do that? The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. When a man proceeds to take the upper stage over God, and over God's word, and takes the authority away from God about his own word, he ain't worth listening to, and don't listen to him, no matter what he says. I'm trying to get you to just stay with God's word, because if you get off into that stuff, the devil's going to use it, and he's going to confuse you, and he's going to take the word of God away from you, and you're going to be over in a corner shaking somewhere by the time it's all over. Or you're going to be mad enough to go shoot up a school. Listen, God's word doesn't do that to people. God's word gives us peace and comfort and hope, and it causes us to fear God rather than correct him. Would you ever correct God's words? I mean, if God said something to you, say, Lord, that ain't the way you say that. This is the way you say it. Would you try that with the Lord? Of course not. You'd be ignorant and a fool to do it. And so would I. Well, then what are we supposed to think about people that do that and try to get the people that they're standing in front of to believe what they're saying? Rather than God. If a man tells me God's word is not God's word, I get away from him as fast and as far as I can right away, because I don't want to hear a word he says, because if I do believe him and I do listen to him, I believe I'm turning my back on the Lord and I'm spitting in God's face and saying, I'm going to listen to him. I mean, that's just the way I see it, and that's the way it is. And I've been through a lot of reading and a lot of study and hated every minute of it. Not hated it because God the Holy Ghost was teaching me, but I hated the information about it, what man's doing with God's word. You stay with God's word, okay? And we'll just enjoy God's word, and we'll have the cake and the icing, and they can go on and fight the battles they want to fight, because they're going to stand before the judgment and answer for what they've done with God's word. And, boy, ain't that going to be something. But not me. Just don't let it be you. Okay? Stay with God's word and don't get in that stupid fight, because that's all it is stupid. It's ignorant, because it's trying to lift man up above God so he can be the authority and tell you what God says and what God don't say. God's word is your final authority. And you have it sitting in front of you. If you have a King James Bible, you have the living, inerrant, without mistakes, God's word. And if they want to say the originals and this and that and the other and transcripts and the Vaticanus and the blabbity, 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 blah, let them say it. But don't put that in your language, in your conversation. Because all it does is confuse God's word. And it's the devil's business. I don't care who they are. And if they don't like what I'm saying, too bad. I've done my own, that's my own personal thoughts about it, and I believe I'm right. But the only reason I'm saying all this to you is because I want to encourage you and exhort you to keep studying God's word. And if you've been comforted by hearing God's word about these different things that we've been talking about through the ABCs, praise the Lord. Continue. While you have the light, believe in the light, the Bible says. Don't go looking for no more light, because it ain't out there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, why would the Lord say that? Because there is corruptible seed out there. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth, and abideth forever. I don't know how anybody can't understand that or even would want to change it. Because what's the alternative to all of this? Why would you play with a book that says you're either going to heaven or going to hell? Why would you play with a book like that or change the words? Fooling around with a book that tells you you got chances of spending eternity in hell is dangerous, man. I want to know word for word, breath for breath about this thing about hell. Don't you? It's the devil's business. All right, enough of that. All right, let's get into our study, the letter Z. I'm going to recap for us just a little bit. And then we're going to get into the last part of it. And we're going to finish this thing up. But I just want to exhort you, brothers and sisters, please, 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 stay in God's Word. You got it going now. Don't let up. You keep your time with the Lord just like Daniel did. Just like Daniel did. And Daniel went three times a day, and he knew them sapsuckers was setting him up and everything else, and he ended up in the lion's den about it. But you see what happened to them suckers that was trying to change things up? They got thrown in that lion's den. And the Lord's going to do that with people that's fooling around with His Word. I mean, He is very patient and long-suffering now. But when He gets started and He decides it's over and here I come, He's coming. And He's not coming as a lamb this time. He's coming as a lion. But we ain't going to have to worry about Him being on the bad side of our Lord, because we're not on His bad side. And when He comes, we're going to be right behind Him. Amen. Zion, your eternal home. It's going to be wonderful. We got everything to look forward to, brothers and sisters. We talked about what is heaven, remember? Talked about what is heaven. And we decided that the Bible teaches us that there's more than one heaven, specifically three that it describes. It describes the first heaven, which is the firmament where the birds fly up in the firmament. That's the first heaven. And the second one was the one that shows itself at nighttime, the one with the stars and the moon and the planets and the sun and that dwell in it. That's the second heaven. And then Paul told us about a third heaven where that is the abode of God, where God dwells. And also it's called paradise. And that's where the angels are. And that's where the Lord is, and the very presence of the Lord is there. We went on it down through there, and we talked about what is Zion, and there are different names for it. It's called the city of David. Now, remember we talked about Zion is, what does Zion mean? Well, it means Jerusalem, doesn't it? And Jerusalem is the city of peace. And it's also called the city of David. And Zion is where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule from in Israel, literally on a literal throne, a literal government with a literal people and a literal He's going to be a literal king over the earth. That's going to be the capital of the earth. All nations are going to come to there. And then we also seen where it talks about Zion as far as being Jerusalem, but it also talks about Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, called Zion. And that's what we're talking about, is heaven, where our eternal home is. We talked about what does death mean for the Christian. Well, let me ask you something. Since we studied that, are you more at peace about death, of what the Bible says to you about death? Sure you are. You got no problem. You got no worries about death. Death is going to sleep. That body goes to sleep, and you go to be with the Lord. The Bible says to be at home in the body is to be absent from the Lord. That's our state right now. We're in our bodies. Look at your hand. You're in there. And look in the mirror whenever you get up. Well, I ain't going to say that because I don't like looking in the mirror. But you look back behind them eyeballs, that's where you at. You inside of there. That's what the Bible says. To be absent from the body, or to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Now, if you come out of that body and you're saved and you don't go to be present with the Lord, what does that make the Bible? It makes it a big fat lie. And the Bible says that God not only does not lie, but that he cannot lie. So we take for granted that God's word is true and we don't question it. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. And you say, well, how do I know? Well, the Bible says precious unto the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Now, what is God, some kind of weirdo to where he gets pleasure off of watching somebody die? No. If God gets pleasure, it says precious unto the Lord is the death of one of his saints. What is he some kind of, and I mean that respectfully, of course. And you know I don't think that, it's not in my heart, but he would have to be some kind of deranged weirdo to get pleasure out of watching somebody die. But that's not what the Lord's, that's not what it says. It says, precious unto the Lord is the death of one of his saints, one of his children. When you die, it's not like ceasing to be. It's being born. You know how precious it is to watch your children be born? It's a joy that you can't get anywhere else. To that a man child is born, the Bible says. That's kind of like what the Lord sees. When your body goes back to the dirt and goes to sleep, you are born, you're birthed out of that body and birthed into eternity out of time. And it's precious to the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul said, if I was to depart, he would be with Christ. Amen. All right. Now, during the tribulation, that we've seen in Revelation, that there were slain brothers and sisters that were under the altar, remember? And the Lord, they weren't in their body. They had lost their heads, and they were up in heaven under the altar. And the Lord said, give them some robes. So a soul can wear robes. When Paul described it, when he was caught up into the third heaven, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. But he didn't say that he was disappointed in it. He just said, I couldn't tell. And he's the one that said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We're not to think like the world or be programmed by the world's garbage. Because that's all it is garbage. And it's humanistic. And it teaches man's way of thinking. We're not to think like that. We're to think like what God says and what God's word teaches us. Death is not disappointment for the Christian. How could it be disappointment if it's precious to the Lord? There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as soul sleep. Your soul does not sleep. Your soul goes to be with the Lord. That's you. That is your being. Your being is your soul inside your body. And that's an outer garment that your soul wears. And it's going to go to sleep. And you're going to leave it. And you're going to go be with the Lord. And you're not going to come back like no butterfly or bullfrog or some kind of iguana or something like that. Reincarnation, no such thing, and nobody's ever seen it or proved it or blabbity, blabbity, blab. It's some kind of a fairy tale dream that somebody on some dope was woke up and got somebody else to believe, and they all made a big group and said, reincarnation, man. There's no such thing. It's not mentioned. It's not even referred to. It's not even thought of in the scriptures. Forget it. Will we know one another in heaven? Well, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt know one another in heaven, but it does give us evidence that we will recognize each other. And not only that, we'll recognize people that we've never personally met. For instance, our brothers and sisters in the scriptures. We're going to be able to tell that that's Apostle John, that's the Apostle Paul, that's the Apostle Peter. We'll be able to tell our other Christians. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Was Jesus recognizable when he came into that upper room? Sure he was. What's our proof? The scriptures. John 20, verse 20. Was he touchable? Yes, he was. Proof? The scriptures. John 20, verse 27. Was Jesus able to communicate? Did he talk? Did he listen? Did he understand? Did he communicate back and forth with him? Sure he did. Proof? The scriptures. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Was Jesus' body physically restricted? No, it was not. Proof? Right, the scriptures. John chapter 20, verse 19, and Luke chapter 24, verse 31. Was Jesus able to eat with that new body? Absolutely. Do you remember what he had for a meal? It was fish and honeycomb, wasn't it? A piece of fish, broiled fish? I can't remember. Broiled fish or honeycomb, and honeycomb. And he sat down there and ate in front of them. I would have asked for a biscuit with it, wouldn't you? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I bet they make some good biscuits in heaven, don't you? Luke chapter 24, verse 36 through 43, the scripture said Jesus ate in that new body. Like his glorious body. We're going to get one like that. Or ours is going to be turned into one and fashioned into one like that. Look at your body. You know what the Bible says about that body right now? That it's vile. Quit spending money to make it something that it's not. I ain't telling you to try not to do the very best. The Lord says it's the temple of God and we ought to take care of it. And you should. And the Lord said, he that despiseth the temple shall be destroyed. So we ought to take care of it. But not like the world takes care of it and thinks of it. The Lord says, the bottom line is, it's vile. And it's going back to the dirt. Until I resurrect it and change it and give it back to you. So quit walking around letting the devil talk you into thinking that you need to do something that's wicked with your body to make it look and appear something that it should not and cannot. Okay? Save your money. And give it to somebody that needs it, and store up treasures in heaven. What's heaven like? Well, can we describe it? No. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:4 that we can't describe it, and might as well not try. We can take the information that the Lord's given us and the truth that the Lord's given us, and the Lord knew that we were going to have to imagine these things that He's told us, and that's good. Streets of gold. What else? 12 gates that are made out of one single pearl of each, which is going to be amazing. That the streets' gold is so pure that it's translucent? You can see through it, or something like that. It said that God's throne is so beautiful, it's got a rainbow that goes all the way around it, that it's the color of an emerald, and that there's beasts, four beasts that stand around it, and 24 thrones that sit around God's throne, or seats that sit around God's seat, and or God's throne, and the people that sat on it had crowns on their head. I think that's neat. I think everything in heaven that we're going to be able to look at is going to be brand new every time we look at it. Brand new every time we look at it. And that's hard to imagine. But I think heaven is going to be something like that in description of these things that Paul says that there's no words for it. He never forgot it. And it never became old to him. From the time he came back and the Lord sent him back, that's all he wanted to do was go and leave. But he wanted to finish his course first. And he did. We talked about what is the heavenly Jerusalem going to be like. That it's a great, that it's the builder of the city is God. And the Lord said that it's currently being prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the length of it? How many furlongs? 12,000. And what did that come out to in when we did the math? About 1,500 miles, didn't it? What was the breadth of it? Breadth was the same, wasn't it? And the height? That was the same also. So it's 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles square. That's going to be something to look at by itself, because it's up in heaven, suspended in heaven. John said he said it can't, he seen it coming down from heaven. It didn't get to the earth. He just said he seen it coming down. It's going to be like what the earth is. You say, well, that's impossible for it to be suspended up there, a big city like that suspended. Well, what do you think you're standing on right now? You're on a ball of dirt out in the middle of space, suspended. Unless you believe like them people, like the, I think it's the Chinese, believe a turtle's holding it up. It's on a turtle's back. Well, people come up with some of the craziest things, don't they? That'd be a crazy thing. I'd rather put it on, I don't know, put something else's back. That'd be like putting it on a camel's back it takes more faith to believe that a round ball will sit on a turtle back than it does to believe that God says it's going to be suspended just by His word there. You're on an earth that's suspended in space. There's nothing holding this earth up. God's word. Why wouldn't you think that the New Jerusalem's going to be suspended out there? That's going to be our home. Yeah. Now, down here on earth, man thinks that gold is the most valuable thing, and up there where God is, He paves the streets with it. It was transparent, not translucent. Transparent glass. Who shall inhabit the heavenly city? Well, the Bible says that's limited. Those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you get your name in there? By being born again. Jesus said ye must be born again. How do you get born again? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. What will we be missing in heaven? Oh my. What are we going to be missing in heaven? Well, first of all, there'll be no more death. The Bible says death is going to be the last enemy that's going to be destroyed. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, because the former things are passed away. There was no temple. There's no temple in the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, that's one thing we're going to notice on this study today, is that the Bible talks about two different places there's no temple in the heavenly Jerusalem, in Zion, in the heavenly Jerusalem, because the Lord himself is the temple there. Okay, but there is a throne and a temple in the earthly, physical, literal Jerusalem, Zion, that the Lord occupies, that he sits on. Yes, so let's get that straight. And it's all got to do with Zion. See? You see? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. That's in the heavenly Jerusalem. And then it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the gates of it's going to be shut, or not be shut, they're going to be open. And there's not going to be any night there. And that's another thing. Not only is the throne different in the New Jerusalem and the literal earth down here, but also the day and night. There's not going to be any night in the New Jerusalem, but there will be night on earth. See? How do we know that? Because that's what the Bible says. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. That's what's not going to be found in heaven. Not what's going to be, what's not going to be found in heaven. All right, well, let's move into our study for today. What shall we do in heaven? Now, don't be led astray by the common notion that that we're going to be floating around on clouds dressed in white gowns. Well, at least we're not like the little Catholic fat babies with harps and naked. But floating around with white gowns, flapping a pair of wings and strumming on a harp for all eternity. That's a bunch of nonsense. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that. It talks about Jesus coming in clouds and coming in the clouds and things like that, and that we'll be coming with him, and that we're going to meet him in the air and things like that. But it never talks about us floating around on no cloud and for eternity and stuff like that. So let's see what the Bible says. In heaven, we're going to sing praises to God. We're going to sing. There's going to be music and singing in heaven. You like to sing? Man, there ain't nothing like a lot and a lot of people that are singing from the joy of their heart of something that they love. Can you imagine? Revelation chapter 5, the Bible says, and they sung a new song. Nobody's going to know this song. It's going to be a new song. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's going to be a song that we're going to sing. We're going to sing in heaven a new song. All right, what else? In heaven, we're going to serve God continually. We're going to serve Him. You say, well, I'm just going to be a slave for all eternity? No, you're going to be a servant. And servants are privileged, and you're going to be a son. You're a son, not going to be, you are. You're a son of God. And you're going to serve your Heavenly Father. And you're going to do it because you want to, not because you have to. You see, that's that sin nature. That's that flesh that makes you think like that. What? I'm just going to be a slave? The rest? That's what's got all this society in the mess that it's in now. I ain't nobody's servant. I ain't nobody's slave. I ain't nobody. A servant is a privileged character in the Scriptures. And the idiots don't know that. And to think that being a good servant is bondage and taking advantage of me and taking my rights and blah, 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 is foolishness. Because that's not at all the way the Scriptures say. So you can see what's not in all this mess today, and that's the Bible and the truth and God's Word. Because if we knew anything about servitude and being in the Scriptures, God thinks highly of a good servant. But we're going to be serving. We're going to serve the Lord. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15 says, Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. You know, the Bible says when you've done all that you can do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. That's what we're supposed to be thinking and saying right now. But after we get our new bodies and we have the mind of Christ and we don't have a sin nature anymore, we're going to be able to think like the Lord and won't have all these wicked and ungodly thoughts and imaginations from the heart. And the heart's wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And if you told the truth, yours is and mine is too. You're lucky to get by 15 minutes without thinking something ignorant. Right? I mean, we are talking about the truth, ain't we? And it's true. And we should admit it and admit it to the Lord. And that way we can walk around with a clear conscience with the Lord because we're walking in truth. The Lord said, that we're children of light, walk as children of light. But in Revelation there, it says we're going to sing in heaven. It says that we're going to serve the Lord day and night. Okay, and then Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 and 5, the Bible says, and there shall be no more curse. Oh, man. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. How can you be a servant and reign also? Because it's what God's Word says. Just believe God's Word. Don't take anybody that wants to try to break it down and, well, I think. Just put them over the side in the wastebasket and believe God's Word. That's what God says. In Revelation chapter 3, not only will we sing praises to God in glory, that we're going to serve Him continually, the Bible says, and also in heaven, we're going to fellowship continually. Have you ever been among, and there's not very many today, I know they're out there, but if somebody asked me where one was, I couldn't tell you. Where I'm at right now, and I'm not going to tell you, unless you ask, but I'm not going to tell you, but where I am right now, I don't know of a good fellowship, of a good God-loving. There's a lot of churches, But I don't know of a God-loving, Holy Ghost, obeying, God's Word honoring, true fellowship. And you say, well, you're just judging, brother. No, I'm just, yeah. You know what? I know what fake is. Don't you? And you know what it does? I'm scared for my walk with the Lord. I don't want anything to drag me away from the Lord. But have you ever been in a good fellowship among brothers and sisters that really love God? There is nothing more special than that. I mean, other than our Lord, but to walk in the same spirit, in unity, the same mind, the same God, the same baptism, the same Bible, the same salvation is tremendous. They don't walk around trying to impress each other. They don't try to outdo each other. They don't try to trip one another out of envy and jealousy. It's just praising God, singing together from the same joy from our hearts, and fellowshipping with one another. That's what heaven's going to be like. It's not going to be like it is down here. I used to tell the women when I preached in the women's prison in Gadsden, Florida, I'd go there and I was, we'd stand up and sing. And boy, they'd just beller out. And some of them were sincere. A lot of them were sincere. And they'd be singing, and I'd get into preaching and stuff like that and preaching to them. And I'd tell you, you know something? I said, you don't know what envy is, and you don't know how wicked we are. I said, when y'all standing up and singing, why are you singing? You thinking, I sing better than she does. She'll just shut her mouth. And all of them kind of got a look on their face like, Yeah, that's how we are. That's how this flesh is. That's how this Adamic nature is. That's how this curse is. Ain't you sick of it? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But in heaven, we're going to fellowship, true fellowship, continually. Revelation 3:21, listen what it says. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Can you imagine the Lord calling your name and saying, come up here? And you walk up there and he scooches over and he says, get up here and sit with me. Wow. Get up here and sit with me. Going to sit with the Lord in his throne. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. He's talking about overcoming in the tribulation, the ones that are that overcome in the tribulation and don't take the mark and things like that. But we ain't get into that right now. But overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So we're going to be doing plenty in heaven. There's going to be plenty to do. You ain't going to be bored. And if you are bored, it's going to be a holy boredom. Amen? But you're not going to be disappointed. If you're not going to have any more curse, and you're not going to have any more death, and you're not going to have any more, what else was it? No more death, no more crying, no more curse, no more sorrow, no more pain. Why would you think you'd have boredom? There won't be no boredom up there. This is a place that you're going to want to stay forever. Have you ever found, I remember one time when I was, the only time it ever happened in my life, and that's how I knew that it was the Lord's will, because the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. If God gives you something, or if the Lord, now I'm not talking about trials and tribulation and stuff like that and the fiery trials and things like that. God gives us them too. But he also shows us a way through and out of them. And they're only for a period of time. But I'm talking about where the Lord blesses you. It says it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. But when I was up running Troubled Men's Camp and helping out there and getting those men in and taking care of them and helping them with God's word and as best as I knew how. Every time I would drive out of that place, and there was a lot of that because there's a lot of baggage with troubled men, parole officers, court appearances, medications, hospital visits, emergency room, anything and everything. But every time I'd drive out of that place, when I was coming back, it all looked brand new to me every time. I don't know how to explain that to you, but I never got tired of it. And I was there for 11 years. Every time I'd drive back, it all looked brand new. And I don't know how many thousands of times I drove down the same road, but it all looked brand new every time. That is what heaven, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. None. There's not going to be any sorrow in heaven, brothers and sisters. Now, that's one thing I can't get around my head. There's a lot of nothing that I can get around my head, for a matter of fact. a whole lot of nothing. But there ain't going to be no sorrow there. No crying. No regret. With exception of the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to wish we'd have done better. And if you keep that in mind right now, you can change that right now. And you are by studying God's word and honoring him. But there's some things that you could change in our lives that would honor the Lord better. But it's going to take some suffering. You're going to have to do without. And you got to do without to not cater to the flesh. Yeah, we know that, don't we? But God notices that. And he knows the ones that love him. The Bible says that. Can I have heaven on earth? Can I have heaven on earth? You know, the happiest and most memorable, most joyful and loving experiences on this earth are going to pale into insignificance when compared with the bliss of heaven. Nevertheless, God intends for some things now to be a foretaste of heaven to come. For instance, your personal relationship with the Lord. There is such thing as a personal relationship with the Lord right this very second in the body. And the way that you get it is to draw near unto God. Those that draw near unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. When the Lord sees that you're trying to get a hold of his leg and pull him closer and hug him, he will pull you closer. And he does. All you got to do is want to. And you're participating in it right now by being in God's Word and honoring him and learning. And getting God's Word in your mind and in your heart. And making it part of you. When it be your home and your family. There's not many families anymore. Not much thought about in America about home life and the family like it used to be. Good old family home. Home is where the heart is. Come, I'm going home, home, home. My home's in glory. That's where my home is. I'm just camping out here until the Lord gives me permission to get out of this body and come on be with him. And that's the way you ought to put it. If you got a good family and a close family and a family that loves being around one another, God bless you and hang on to it, because it is a piece of heaven on earth, because God loves family and he's the one that started family and made family, and God loves family. But that doesn't change what sin and the devil's done down here and what humanism and everything that man can come up with down here has ruined families, has ruined it. The idea of family. Family now is get as much as you can get from one another and take your unborn child and let a doctor stick a needle in the back of its neck when it comes out and kill it. Suck its brains out. Yeah. Or let it be born and mom and daddy take it and hold it up by its feet and bash its head against a dumpster and put it in a bag. Family? That ain't heaven on earth, is it? But it's supposed to be. Heaven on earth. Can you have heaven on earth? Comparing to the things that we have that we don't even know about, like what Paul said, no, we can't have heaven on earth, but we can have the things that God has developed, has made for us that were supposed to be down here, if you got some of that. The brotherhood. The Bible says, love the brotherhood. There's supposed to be a brotherhood among Christians. But Christians are fighting and spatting and schisming and all kinds of things with one another. It's shameful, and the world looking at it and laughing and mocking it. That's Christianity? But when you get it made up, the first place you get your Christianity is in your heart. You make it up in your mind that my will is a free agent. I get to choose my will. Not even God will get in the middle of it. The Lord will try to persuade you. But if you decide to go against the Lord, He'll let you. The first place of your sincerity is that you keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. And you mind the Lord and you get in God's book and you find out what the Lord says about overcoming this flesh. And walking with the Lord and loving the brotherhood and being around the brethren. That's what I was talking about the churches. There's such thing as going to a church now and losing your Christianity. Oh, yeah, bunch of skin-tight wearing, shake them hips up there on the stage to some Christian rock. Yeah, man. You think you're going to stay Christ-like in a place like that? Oh, there's a spirit in there. But it ain't the spirit of the living God. God the Holy Ghost. I know God the Holy Ghost. He dwells in me. And I know I know what He's about. I know how He behaves. I know what He thinks. I know what His personality is. I know His love and His joy. And I know His disappointment when I disappoint Him. Don't you? But let me tell you something. Women in tight jeans up on a Christian stage and in their little leotard suits and dancing around, shaking their hips and all that kind of stuff to some Christian rock. Them fellas out there in the audience, they not thinking, oh, how godly, oh, how I wish my heart was like hers, oh, and crying for joy. That's not what they're thinking. Love the brotherhood. He's not talking about just any brotherhood, okay? Not just any brotherhood. We're talking about, can we have heaven on earth? Yes, you can, if it starts in your heart and you're faithful and you stick to it. Make a decision, make it your decision, and stick to it. Love the brotherhood. Each of these things reflect a portrait of heaven. They do, when they're right. When there's righteousness and when there's love and compassion and forgiveness and joy and the things that the Lord talks about. You can forgive people. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear in the Scriptures and gives permission to the Christian to not count anything of this world important enough to have power over him or control him. The Lord has given you permission not to let anything on this earth or anybody else, whether it calls itself Christian or whatever. If it's a wolf, whatever, the Lord gives you permission to to not let anything that's contrary to His Word control you. God's Word is supposed to control you. God the Holy Ghost controls you. Now, He did say, honor all men with the honor that they deserve. But He didn't say, believe what they believe and follow them. This world is getting more deceitful by the minute. And pretty soon, if not already, it's so deceitful out there that you have to go through 25 veils just to get to the truth about one little bitty issue. That's how deceitful it is. You can't find truth anymore. The Lord said that there was going to be a famine, but it wasn't a famine of food or water or anything like that. It's a famine of His Word. You better stay as close to God's Word as you possibly can. If you don't like this lesson, you don't like the way it's, whatever, get one that's the truth and stick with it. And stay there. And study. I tell you, you keep going through these things, I mean, you get tired of listening to me, but you won't never get tired of listening to God's words. You won't do nothing but grow listening to God's words. And that's what this study's all about. It's just God's Word. Jesus Himself is praying for the Christians specifically, said that He was not praying for the world. Jesus never prayed for the world. He never said anything about Father, save the world, or Father, we are the world, we are the blah, blah, blah. He never said anything like that. Jesus never said anything like that. As a matter of fact, He said, I pray not for the world. In John chapter 17, He said, I pray for them, talking about the saved, the people that come to Him, that are born again, the people that have accepted Him as Savior, the bride, and all the ones that before the first resurrection. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. He prayed for us. He didn't pray for the world, and He said it specifically. I ain't praying for the world. I don't care about the world. They don't care about me. They don't want me. I don't want them. No. Yeah. You better get in that Bible. Find out what your Lord is about. That is Jesus' attitude. You don't care about Him. He don't care about you. You don't want Him? Fine. Now, He puts up with us when He knows our heart and He thinks that there's a chance that we'll come back to Him and repent. Yes, He's long-suffering and temperate. But when He finds out that you don't want nothing to do with Him, okay, you're on your own, bud, just like He's done to America. America kicked Him out, said, we don't want you here. Get. You know what He did? He took His hands off of everything. That's why everything's going crazy. The only reason America was the way it was and had purity and had respect from the world was because God was here. And when America kicked Him out and the Lord said, fine, and turned a shoulder and walked away, America does what human beings do naturally. And it's turning into Sodom. Right before your eyes. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. He didn't say He prepared anything for the people that hate Him, except hell. And that was prepared for the devil and his angels. But the people that hate God go to the same place. And the Lord said that He would laugh at your calamity if you hate Him. He said, when your calamity, he said, he'll laugh at your calamity. And when your troubles come, he'll laugh at you. Not at me. I'm on the Lord's side. Aren't you? Of course you are. He said, I pray not for them. I pray for them. Talking about us. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. So we're talking about the very last part of this. Can I have heaven on earth? The only thing that you can have any kind of comfort whatsoever on this earth and being in the body and being in the middle of this stinking corrupt world and having the enemy, the devil, walking about as a roaring lion, all these enemies that we have here, the only kind of comfort that you can have is in them scriptures and minding God the Holy Ghost and the brethren that are loyal to the Lord and to His Word. Period. The Apostle John, led by the Holy Ghost, said this, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And what's the will of God? To stay in His Word, and to love Him more than anything. And to love your brethren. All the law is summed up into that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You can't be in the world and spiritual at the same time. Because one of them you can see and one of them you can't. One of them's in the spirit and one of them's in the flesh. One of them's wicked and one of them's holy. It's not possible for it to intertwine. They cannot dwell together. You're going to pick one. If you're straddling the fence in the world and with your walk with the Lord, it's not ever going to work. You're going to be battling and miserable all the time because both of them are pulling on you. Just pick your leg up, flop it over on the Lord's side, and start fighting for Him. You're going to fight either way. You're either going to fight because of the sin that's killing you in the world and all the deceit and the lying and the cheating and the this and the misery and all that, or either you're going to get on God's side and you're going to have joy. You're going to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You're going to battle with the enemy, battle with the world, and you're going to battle with your flesh. But you're going to live in truth, live in righteousness, live with a good conscience that the Lord is pleased with you and you're walking, being pleasing in His sight. I mean, they're different. And sometimes it takes somebody 50, 60 years to figure that out. Some of them don't. Some Christians die a miserable death. And yeah, it's precious to the Lord too, because He's glad you're getting out of it and you're not shaming His name no more. Come on up here. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the ones that are, which was me before God exercised His grace on me and had mercy on me. The Lord's been very kind to me. Very, very, very kind to me. And I ain't never going to forget it. I'm going to remember it on purpose. Sometimes I get so stinking miserable and selfish and feeling sorry for myself, I have to remind myself of what God's done for me and what He's done and His kindness to me. And then it'll pull me out of my funk. And you should too. And you should hang around with people, Christians, that love God. And they're far, few, and in between now. And they're getting farther. And I ain't got... And if other Christians are complaining and saying, well, we're good fellowship, all right, prove it. Prove it. The Lord commands me to walk with people that are like, with the likeness of what I am. And I know I'm walking with the Lord, don't you? And I know what the Lord says, and I'm capable of making mistakes, but I'm in the position to, I'm in the frame of mind that if I make a mistake, correct me with the truth, and I'll change it. And I bet you are too. The Bible says that obedience starts with a willing mind. And a lot of Christians are not willing, but they still go to church. Let's not let that be us. I mean, if you have to, if you're by yourself, fine. You're not by yourself. The Lord's there with you, isn't He? Yes, He is. And be happy and satisfied with that until the Lord gives you some fellowship. That's what you do. Sad to say, but true. They put John on an island. Now, what did Jesus say in that verse that we just got through reading? What did Jesus say in that verse that He was going away to do? He said that He was going away to prepare a place for us. Now, we're winding this up now. He said He was going away to prepare a place for us. Do you believe that? Of course you do. Why? Because the Bible says so. And that's what I believe. Period. No matter what everybody else says. My Bible says this. You can either believe the Bible along with me or quit talking in my ear because you're not convincing me of nothing. I believe what God said. Jesus is preparing me a place and He went away for that reason. Otherwise, He was resurrected. He could have stayed and started the kingdom right then, but the Jews denied Him. So He passed it on to us and let the Gentiles get saved. Praise the Lord. Who'd the Lord say He was doing it for? He said He was doing it for you. I go to prepare a place for you. If you means you, then you should write your name in it, right? If you really means you, then you should write your name in, right? Are you born again? Then you are the you that Jesus was talking about when He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If He wasn't, who was He talking to? He said, well, He was talking to all the apostles and everybody around there. Why did the writer write it down and pass it down to us and the Lord make it get to us then? And tell us to trust in His word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You means you. And He's talking about you. He said in that verse, I pray not for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Are you the Lord's? Yes, you are if you've been born again. God the Father called you. God the Holy Ghost drew you. You believed, and Jesus Christ saved you and adopted you into His family, and you belong to the Lord now, and you are in God's family now. You're part of His You're heirs with Christ, and you're part of the Lord's heritage now. You're part of His family now, literally. Did the Lord say if it was not truth, He would have told us that it wasn't true? What was He trying to do? Why did He say that at all? He said that because, in case we doubted it. He said, if it was, I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. So that gives us permission to believe it, right? Absolutely. And we do. Did the Lord say, did the Lord promise to come? Yes, He did. He promised that He was coming back to get us, didn't He? What for? So that we could be with Him. Now we're talking about Zion, your eternal home. I'm trying to encourage you and exhort you that everything that you've heard about God's Word is true, and it's going to come to pass. It's already coming to pass. You're born again. Why are you sitting here listening to this? Because God the Holy Ghost dwells in you, and the Word of God is real, and your God is real, and you have a desire to draw near to the Lord. That's real. Now, when you go back out in that world, that's your deceit. That's the lies. That's temporal. That's not what you're supposed to set up home in. Do you believe God? Do you believe His words? I do. Now, according to God's written word, where are you going sometime in the future? Going to your heavenly home. Amen. Isn't that something? Praise His wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name. Our Lord not only came and died for us, the Lord has covered it from Alpha to Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord is taking care of it all. And as we sit here and study this, He's given us the easy part. All we got to do is serve Him and try to get other people to get saved and get in the family before it's too late. That's what we got to do. And that's what we think about. And we fellowship with one another down here and try to exhort and encourage each other and stay in God's Word. Stay in God's Word. That's our lifeline. That's our bread. That's our drink. That's our water. That's our milk. The Lord said in closing, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Amen. All right, that winds up our study of the letter Z. Zion, your eternal home, your heavenly home. Now, I want to remind you that all these lessons I have in written form, and if you would like to have them, you are welcome to them. If not, that's fine, but if you would like to have them, just email me at barnhouseministries, all one word, all lowercase, barnhouseministries@gmail.com. And I'll get those over to you, and then you can print them or keep them on your computer, whatever you want to do. And when you listen to these things, you can just go right down the list and they're fill in the blank. Everything that we've been talking about goes right down these papers also. You can have it in written form while you're listening to it, and writing with your hand as you're doing it and putting the answers on the paper. And then you can just nail God's Word down even more. Even more. So, praise the Lord. I'm not going to encourage you to stop. As a matter of fact, I exhort you to stay in God's Word. I'm always adding to these letters. I think the letter L has two lessons now in it, and a couple of the others have them. And I'm always taking truths from God's Word and making building studies on them in as simple a way as I possibly can, and it's the simplicity of Christ. All we need to do, we don't have to search for all the deep, dark secrets. and get real deep, and you'll go as deep as God the Holy Ghost wants you to go. And there's always new revelations that the Lord is revealing to people, but he reveals it to people that are going to honor him with it. But as far as God's word goes, there's enough. There's like a little girl that asked her daddy and said, "Daddy, what are you going to do when you've preached all of the Bible? What are you going to preach when you preached all the Bible?" You're not going to ever preach all God's word. God's word is eternal. There's so much truth in God's word. I mean, we start out as babes and we learn and you grow and you get off the bottle and you get on some of that Gerber's stuff and you eat that, and then you go to a little bit of hard food and you start getting there, and pretty soon you're eating meat. And it's good stuff. So I honor you, and I give you all the respect in the world. I do respect you, and brother and sister, I love you with Christ's love. I encourage you to stay in the Word of God, and if you don't do nothing else, get back to the letter A and start all over again. And if you want this in a disc form, to where now I'm going to be do it. Like I said, I'm going to be building on this continually, but I think now we've got the whole A through Z ABCs of Christian growth, and I think it's like 210 hours or something like that, and there's like 220, 230 lessons or something like that, and I hope it all goes on one disc, and if it does, I'll burn you one and you can have it. Not because of me, but because of God's word. That's what you need, is God's word. I mean, if it's not this lesson, get you something that is truth and study it. And something that you can enjoy and something that you can learn from and get closer to the Lord. Amen? All right. Well, let's go ahead and let me give you the scriptures for this last one. And we'll stop right there. And like I said, barnhouseministries@gmail.com. You're welcome to write me about anything, and I'll help you as much as I can, any way that I can. Let's serve the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let's do it, and let's be pleasing before the Lord, okay? This world changing, man, 40, 50 years ago, there wasn't no computers, there wasn't no this, I mean, telephones. The biggest thing you had in a telephone was a 10-foot extension cord where you could walk into the living room versus that little short one where you just stand by the phone. Remember that? But and then we went to push button, and we went to a 20-pound cell phone. I'm glad I couldn't afford that. But anyway, and now you see what it is and what we're doing. See, I mean, just the world is crazy. So, but not us and not our Lord. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Here's your verses. Or here's your scripture. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 through 5. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. John chapter 17, verse 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 16, verse 25. John chapter 17, verse 9. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And John chapter 14, verse 2. All right. Well, God bless you, and thank you for joining in this study, and I hope to talk to you on the next one. And you be sure to join in, because I'm going to be studying, and if you want to join in, you just keep on right in there. You sure are welcome, and we'll just study God's Word and learn together, okay? The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members that are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now we walk like the Lord, don't we? God bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. The Lord be kind to you, and I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.